The first order of business in the Donald Trump trial this morning is the gag order. Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti joins us now. Karen, what do we expect? What will the judge do, do you think, today?
Well, the judge has issued a gag order and bars Trump from basically commenting on witnesses, the prosecutors, the court staff, and the jurors. And it's pretty clear that Trump did just that. In fact, he did it yesterday, as a matter of fact, and was saying bad things about Michael Cohen, who is going to be the prosecution's witness. So my guess is the court is going to find him in contempt and give him, you know, $1,000 per violation, which is no big deal. As I say, it's Trump change. And then we'll just move on. But again, you know, when you have these kinds of things happening, the judge could do more than just issue a fine. It could be imprisonment. I don't think the judge is going to do that here. I think it's just too difficult to put somebody like Donald Trump in prison. And I think the court's going to just try to admonish him not to do this in the future.
But what if he continues to violate the gag order? Then what do you think the judge will do?
You know, I think the judge is just going to be reticent to put him in jail. I think it's a security nightmare. It's a political nightmare. He's going to, you know, claim that this is a political prosecution and that he's, you know, I just don't think the judge has it in him to do it. I think he could up the fines, but that's not going to affect Trump because he's, you know, he's paying it or he's having his campaign pay it. So this is not really a punishment.
And all of this happens away from the jury, right?
They don't
know about this or shouldn't know about this. Is that right?
They should not know anything about it at all.
The Trump team says that there is no crime here. What do you think about that? Talk a little bit about your analysis of the opening strategy on the part of the prosecution and the defense.
Well, this, you know, paying hush money is not a crime. But when you misrepresent your business records that you're paying legal fees when, in fact, you're paying off somebody, that is a crime. Now, is that a serious crime in the grand scheme of all crimes? No. But it is something that people get prosecuted for all the time. You can't lie to the bank. You can't lie to the IRS. And you know, frankly, this should have been a campaign fund fraud case, but you know, he was president when some of these things were unraveled, and that's a federal law, and he couldn't be prosecuted while he was president. So this is the next best thing. You know, the prosecution actually kind of upped the ante in the opening statement. It basically was calling what Trump did election interference, meaning that the government is saying that the public had a right to know that he had these affairs and that he was covering them up. And by doing this, he was preventing the public from knowing about it, which is kind of a step up from just falsifying big business records. They're making it into a bigger case than it really is.
Do you think both sides got the jury they wanted?
I think that the prosecution got a better jury. I think there were more people who had doubts about Trump as a person. I think that people probably lied to get on the jury. And my guess is that the case was won or lost at jury selection. Because if there is a Trump fan on that jury, there's no way that that person is going to convict. And likewise on the other side.
Will Donald Trump take the stand?
You know, I think he probably will. My guess is that his defense is going to be that he relied upon all of his lawyers and all of his accountants, and he wasn't, you know, classifying these records, and he didn't put the entry in the log. And so the idea that he agreed to pay this hush money is not a crime. It was the falsification of the record, which he had nothing to do with, and did it under, you know, it was done under the advice of all of his professionals. And I think if he simply says that, that would be a pretty good defense for what happened here.
Do you wait, as a defense lawyer, do you wait to see how your case is going before you make the decision about having the defendant take the stand?
You do. You have a pretty good idea, though, because you're already preparing your client to testify in the event that you need to. So my guess is that his lawyers have been schooling him on how to answer certain questions, and they're practicing this right now. But, you know, if the case doesn't look strong and the jury consultants, who I assume Trump has present in the courtroom, are reading the body language of the jurors and saying the jurors aren't buying this, then maybe Trump won't be called, and they'll just say, you know, they did not read, you know, prosecution did not meet their burden of proof.
We kept hearing that the biggest problem the prosecution will have in this case is their witness, Michael Cohen, described as a star witness, has credibility issues. But it seems that there are others being called to testify who will corroborate what Michael Cohen is saying. So do you still think that the credibility issue is going to hurt the prosecution?
I think a little bit, but think about this. Trump chose Cohen to be his lawyer for years and years. So if Cohen is a liar and a scam artist, then Trump is the one who associated with him in the first place. So, you know, that's what you do. You turn that around very quickly when on cross-examination. But you're right. There is other corroborating evidence. Supposedly there are tapes where there's conversations being had about this and how they're going to write this up. There was a meeting with the CEO of the National Enquirer where they had a plan to do this, to pay off Stormy Daniels. And so I think there's going to be all kinds of documents and audio tapes and notes and records from these meetings that are going to corroborate exactly what Cohen is going to say.
In your experience, Karen, as an attorney, did you ever have a client dealing with a gag order?
Not like this. No, not like this at all. I mean, I've had issues of contempt where someone in the courtroom, you know, my client in the courtroom was saying things or doing things or acting up or being emotional or, you know, that kind of thing, but not like outside gag orders. The cases that I have handled just didn't rise to the level of, you know, the idea that you have to, you know, bar somebody from talking about it. So, no, I haven't really dealt with this precise issue.
Well, Donald Trump is a unique client, and no doubt about that.
Yes.
Karen Cotty, Chicago trial attorney. Thank you, Karen, and we'll be checking with you throughout the trial. Appreciate it.
Have a good day, Bob.
You too.